But anyway, what I want to do is I want to just begin by asking those people that were here on Christmas Eve, what were two of the big words that we emphasized on Christmas Eve? Does anyone know for the price of a candy cane? Wait. Who said that over here? Was that you, Jeff? Or that was Hendrick? Okay. Anyone over here, what would we talk about? No room. So afterwards, you're going to get a candy cane, okay? We talked about no room. Everybody say those two words together. No room. Okay? And we got those words where we were reading the Christmas story. Remember, if you were here Christmas Eve, it's the same old story every year. You had to be there for that. But as we read the Christmas story out of Luke chapter 2, I think we read the first seven verses. And if you look at verse 7, let's put verse 7 on the screen. It says, she, referring to Mary, gave birth to her first child, a son. We know him as who? Jesus. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger. And the reason why they laid him in a manger is because we're told there was no room. Say those words again. No room for them in the inn. Okay? So what we see here in this verse is we see that Jesus was laid outside in a cold, damp manger because there was what? No room. I just want you to get that in your head. There was no room. So Jesus, I want you to listen to this carefully. Jesus is left outside because there was no room inside. So think about that. Jesus is left outside because there was no room inside. So one of the primary questions that we asked the congregation on Christmas Eve is this, and it's on the screen. The primary question is this: have you made room in your life for Jesus? Think about that. You say, well, I'm a Christian. Of course I've made room for Jesus. Well, let me confess, I'm a Christian too. Aren't you thankful for that? And there's times that I have not made room for Jesus in my life. Think about that. So let me ask you the question as you sit there in thoughtfulness, and that is, have you made room in your life for Jesus? Maybe you can be real current and ask that for yourself today. Have I made room for Jesus? And here's the reason why I ask the question. The question is asked because if we're not careful, our lives can become so full. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Our lives can become so full that, and we can become so, the B word, busy, that there's no room for Jesus, the one we say we're living for and following. There's no room for him in our lives. So the next question is this, and there's going to be a lot of questions today. I like questions that get people thinking. Here's the next question. What am I allowing to fill my life? So I want to just go through this quickly. We shared this illustration on Christmas Eve. If you were here, sorry, we're going to do it again. But I heard of a pastor that got up for week after week after week and after week and preached the same sermon. Congregation asked, why are you doing that? He said, well, until you start living it, I'm going to keep preaching it. And that pastor was a smart man, okay? I'm going to do it just today will be the last day, okay? And hopefully you'll find out, you'll ask yourself, am I living it? Okay? Here we go. This bag represents who? You. It's a very pretty bag because you're very, very pretty people. Look at your neighbor. Well, don't, because that could be awkward. I was going to say, look at your neighbor and say, you look good, but some of you might take too much advantage of that, okay? I can say that to my right. You look good, okay? Okay. By the way, what's this box in front of you say? Everybody say that name together.
Jesus.
Okay, Jesus. Are you making room for Jesus? Here's your life. This bag represents your life. And we're going to put different things, different contents in here that represent the things you make room for in your life. Because I think we're pretty much all the same. Okay? Job. How many people have a job? Raise your hand. You have a job. That's good. How many people have a career? We fill our lives with our job. We fill our lives with our career. We fill our lives with the desire to make money. Some people have the desire to do what? Make more money. More money, okay? So we have this job. We have this career. Just ask yourself this question. How many hours a week do you spend in your job and your career? You don't have to respond out loud. I just want you to think to yourself. How many hours a week do you think you spend in your job and career? Okay. How many people think this is this a positive or a negative? How many people think it can be both? Both. It can be both. It's the Bible talks about how we as, especially how we should work. The Bible is very clear about working. The Bible actually says if you don't work, you shouldn't eat. So working is important. A job's important. We all have that in our bag. I hope this is the best way to pack the bag, okay? Second thing we all fill our bag, we fill our bag with this one right here. Everybody say that word, relationships. You know, relationships are good because if you go to Genesis chapter 2, I actually put the scripture on the box, okay? It says in Genesis chapter 2, when God created the world, everything he created, he said these words, it is good, it is good. There's one thing that God created and he said it's not good. And that is that when God created man, he said what? It's not good for man to be what? Alone. Okay? So the fact of the matter is you and I are wired for relationships. Relationships are important. We have them all over. We have family. We have co-workers. And we have friends. Okay? So that's the relationship piece of our life that fills our life. So let me ask you this question real quick. Positive or negative? Or both? Some of you are catching on. What do you mean both? How many people have a dysfunctional family member? I don't, but you do. I know you guys. Who's sitting next to a dysfunctional family member? I see that hand back there in the Globitz row. Here's one we'll talk about briefly. This is what fills. This is one of the things that fills a lot of people's lives: hurts, habits, and hang-ups. Don't raise your hands, but do you have any hurt habits that are life-controlling, addictions, hang-ups in your life? I would say this one's primarily we would label as negative. But the fact of the matter is, it's in my bag. And I have found out some of the people I thought that never had those, the more I got to know them, it's like, yeah, you have hurts, habits, and hang-ups too, okay? When people get close, we discover that. Here's a couple other ones that I wanted to add to the bag that we didn't have Christmas Eve. So all you Christmas Eve people, this is fresh stuff, okay? What makes up my bag is dreams. How many people have a dream? Wow, you guys are how many people have a dream? Say, I have a dream. How many people have goals? Ambitions? How many people have plans? Of course, we all have plans, goals, ambitions, and dreams. I think that's how God made us. That's what gets us up out of bed and puts our feet on the floor in the morning is I'm going after a dream. I'm going after some of my ambitions. I am today getting up because I have some goals in my life that I want to accomplish. We're back to the question, negative or positive? Or the third is what? You guys are, you're just killing me, okay? Both. By the way, how could those things be both? Have you ever stopped to think that maybe you have a plan for your life that's not God's plan for your life? Have you ever stopped to think that that dream that you have is maybe not a dream that God has for you? Just a thought, just something to put in your... Here's a big one. Can you read that word? Everybody say, entertainment. How many people like to be entertained? We all do. I mean, we live in an entertainment culture, society. We have to be entertained all the time. It is maddening how much we have to be entertained. Cell phones. How many people have a cell phone? Or social media. There's this constant need to be entertained. It doesn't stop. I'll be walking down the sidewalk here in front of the church by the campus and almost get hit by kids that are what? Constantly what? Looking down at their cell phones with the need to be entertained. It just drives me crazy. Nothing like going to a restaurant and seeing a table of a family where no one's talking together, but they're all looking at what? Their phones. There's this constant need to be entertained. But anyway, entertainment is a big part of our lives. Like never before. Like no other generation are we a generation that needs to be entertained. We have a hard time just sitting still and just sitting and listening to maybe what God would have to say to us. It's just hard. We don't have time to just stop and do nothing. We think to do nothing, you must be no one. I'm here to tell you that's a mistake. Some of us need to learn how just to put the brake on and do nothing. Get your thoughts together. Wait in the presence of God. You'd be amazed with what God will show you. Are you with me this morning? So jab your neighbor in your side and say, did you hear what he just said? Okay. Last one is one that I love in my life. Sports. How many people like sports? You like sports? Okay. I like sports. I'm excited for today at noon. My Steelers, can they beat the Ravens to get that playoff spot? I'm jacked up. I like sports. I enjoy sports. I really, really do. But let me ask you this question. Is this a positive or a negative? Did you say both? How can this be a negative? I wrote some things on the back to remind me. There's always someone better than you. How many athletes are out there? And you found out that I thought I was good, but there's always somebody better than you. So let me ask you this question. What happens when you get cut from the team? Or maybe what happens when you don't play? And here's what you've done, is you have put this in the center of your box and this has become your identity. And you think I'm talking crazy, but I know a lot of kids, I know a lot of people that this is their identity, their athleticism and their athletic accomplishments. And then they find out that there's somebody better than them, and they find out maybe they got cut or they aren't playing as much as they would like. And here's what happens. You get down. Because this is what's filling your life. You get down. Or what happens when your team loses the big game? Come on, Packer fans. Or should I say Viking fans? Don't ever get used to losing. I refuse to get used to losing, okay? But what happens when your team loses? I remember it was the late 1990s, and the Pittsburgh Pirates had a great year. They made the playoffs, and they lost in Game 7 to the Atlanta Braves. The city of Pittsburgh, they said, went silent for 2 days. Sports, you're kidding me. It wasn't you that lost, it was your team. Your life will go on. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? We fill our lives with sports. And sports were meant to be beautiful, run and have, just go with it for the glory of God. But we fill our lives with sports. So that's our life. That's our bag. Do you know what's happening? It's overflowing. Another word for overflowing this morning is the word chaos. Can somebody say chaos? I love that word. I had to ask Grant how to spell chaos the other day. I was like, K, it's not a K, I can't find it, it's C, okay, but anyway, chaos. This is what a lot of people's lives are, it's a bunch of chaos. Next question is this. Read the screen there. What has been left out? Has anybody figured it out yet? What did we leave out? Jesus. And I want all you religious people to know that I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about a relationship with one who loves you, cares for you, has a plan for your life. I'm talking about the one who gives life meaning, significance, purpose. I'm talking about the one that you can find your identity in him instead of sports, instead of entertainment. You can put your identity in Jesus, the one who doesn't change, the one who loves you when you have a great day, the one who loves you when you have just a crummy, 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 awful day. And you don't even love yourself, and you feel like a failure. Jesus, the one who gives us identity. What have we left out? Next question is this. Why was Jesus left out? Think about it for a minute. Why was Jesus left out? Why? Somebody answer the question. Everybody say those words. No room. Or very, very little room. This isn't going to fit. There's room in there. It's not much, but we didn't leave room. We left very little. Little room. Next question. What should we do about this dilemma? What should we do about this? Does anybody have any ideas? Well, I got some ideas for you, too. That came from a person that doesn't like sports, so. And we still love those people. But I think we're on the right path. What should we do? Cut the box. Oh, great answers here. Cut the boxes in half. Get a bigger bag is not the answer. Get a bigger bag is what? More chaos. Lord, bless that person. Bless him with a brick, Lord. No. I love that answer. That was awesome. Nick, what was your answer? Just say it out loud real quick. I think there's a verse in the Bible. I think it's Matthew 6:33, if I'm correct, where Jesus speaking says, seek first what? The kingdom of God and his and all these other things, what? Will be added. I thought about that verse. But the question is, and let's not just think about church. We're in church. This is what, we're in church. You just, this way. What? Think about your Tuesday, your Thursday. What should you do about this? Well, if you're serious about this and you said, yes, Jesus, I want to follow you. Yes, Jesus, I want to give my life to you. This is what's got to happen. We're going to have to make some arrangements, rearrange some things. We're going to have to rearrange some things. We're going to have to be, the word I love is, we're going to have to be intentional about what's filling our life. Erlen, I love that answer. Sometimes, these are great things. I'm going to enjoy sports this week, but there's sometimes I just got to cut back. Or you know what I'm talking about. Next question. Let's go real quick. We only got a couple more. Why should we make room for Jesus? Think about that today. Why should I make room for Jesus in my life? Why should I do that? How many people know this person died for you? Don't you just think it's right that we live for him as believers? You know who is the one who's able to take chaos and bring it into order? Jesus. He is the one, he is at the center of our lives, he's the one that's able to take the chaotic pace, the chaotic inconsistencies, the chaotic things that we can't figure out, and when we put Jesus at the center, he's able to take chaos and bring it into order. 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 So So the last question, guys, for the day is this. How do we do it? How do you and I make room for Jesus as we enter into a new year? Here's the one I've discovered. Here's the starting point of how we make room for Jesus, and that is we make room for Jesus when we come to the realization, I need him at the center of my life. Because here's the deal. We often forget that he's the one we need more than anything else. And the reason why we forget is because we get so wrapped up in everything else in the bag. And we get wrapped up into, you know what, I think I can manage the chaos by myself. I've got this. I've got it. I got my family. I've got my work. I've got this. I don't need anyone else. But I tell you what the key is, the starting point is when you come to that humble place where you realize that you need Jesus at the center of your life. And that's not a point of weakness, but that's a point of victory. And people who walk in victory are people who have figured something out, that Jesus better be at the center of my life. He better be on the throne of my heart. All these other things, good, sometimes challenging. But folks, are we going to make room for Jesus as we enter into 2016? So let's close with two thoughts. Question number one is, what are you allowing to fill your life? Just think about that. I think you've been doing that as we've been talking. Question two, have you arrived here? Have you arrived at the realization that you need Jesus? Not just on Sunday morning. Sunday morning is not going to get the job done, my friends. But we got to come to that realization, Lord, that when I walk into work tomorrow, when I walk into school tomorrow, when I walk into whatever I'm walking into, Lord, Jesus, I really need you to be at the center of my life and to give my life order, to give my life significance, to give my life hope, to give my life direction. Lord, I need your help. So let me ask the last question one more time. Have you come to the realization that you can't do it all alone? But my hope is that we as a church will be people, that you'll be a husband, that you'll be a father, a mother, a spouse, a teenager, that you'll learn the value that Jesus has got to be at the center of my life. Amen? Well, let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you for this time together with our church family. We thank you for those people on our right, on our left. Lord, I'm just so filled with gratitude for everyone that's here today. Just love the people that make up this church family. Lord, as a pastor, you give me a heart as a shepherd. And Lord, as their shepherd, my prayer for them is that they will come to this realization that Jesus cannot just be an add-on, but each one will come to that revelation moment, that will come to that point of realization that they need you in the center of their lives. And it's only then that life begins to make sense and has that gusto. So Holy Spirit, I just ask that as we leave this room today, that this visual illustration will stick out in people's minds. Help them to process those thoughts and to evaluate those thoughts and to see where they're at in life. And Lord, I just thank you for, I just love the people in these pews today, Lord God. Lord, I just would love to touch each one of them and just pray a blessing over them and pray for your revelation to fall upon them. Help these people to live life successfully as you determine success. Bless these wonderful people. May we always be reminded, Jesus at the center of my life. And Lord, I pray that we would not allow good things to become the enemy of the greatest thing, and that's you. And I thank you, Lord, that you take our chaos and our messes, and when we come to you, you bring us order. And we thank you for that today. In Jesus' name. And everyone together said, amen.